Target Ovarian Cancer works to save lives and support women with the disease in the UK. In this podcast, taken from one of our free events for women with ovarian cancer, their family and friends in June 2014, we hear from Professor Richard Edmondson, speaking about the latest developments in surgery. To find out more about what we do, visit targetovariancancer.org.uk.
So the first question is really why, and why do we even consider operating in the field of ovarian cancer? And if we want to try and answer that, we really need to go back to this chap, Halstead's principle, which is now a fundamental principle of surgical oncology, that really, if you want to try and cure a patient with surgery, then really you should be aiming to remove the primary tumour with a clear margin of tissue around it, and probably the relevant lymph nodes that supply that tumour. And that's a principle we hold dear in most fields of surgical oncology: lung cancer surgery, colon cancer surgery, cervix cancer surgery, and so on and so on. But ovary is a bit different. And ovary is a bit different because of this: that if we look at how patients present with ovarian cancer, then about 20 to 30% present with disease confined to the ovary, stage one disease. And for those patients, Halstead's principle can probably apply, that we probably cure quite a large proportion of those with surgery alone. But the majority present with stage 3 and 4 disease, where the disease has already spread outside of the ovary and is affecting other things within the abdominal and pelvic cavities and outside of that. Probably, 60-70% there have disseminated disease. So according to Halstead's principle, we probably shouldn't be operating at all. But the reason we do is because of this. And this is data from a chap called Griffiths, who was another American. And Griffiths made the observation that if you operate on patients with advanced ovarian cancer, where it's already spread outside the ovary, at the end of your operation, you can split them into three broad groups. Those that he called completely cytoreduced, where you'd removed all the disease that you could see. There might be some microscopic disease, but you've removed everything you can see. He then classified the next group as those who are optimally cytoreduced, where there are little bits of disease left, but nothing very big. And then there was a third group called suboptimally cytoreduced, where there were big bits of disease left at the end of the operation. And the observation he made was that patients who have complete cytoreduction will do better than patients who are optimally cytoreduced, and those who are optimally cytoreduced do better than those who are suboptimally cytoreduced. There is little doubt that his observation is correct. Every single published series we've ever seen has shown that effect, which is why we tend to believe that surgery probably has a role. The next question we need to ask is when. Okay, so would it be better to give some of that chemotherapy first? Would that shrink the tumour and make it easier to operate on, and therefore you're more likely to get more of it out, and then finish off with your chemotherapy afterwards? The counter-argument says, well, you're using up three lots of your chemotherapy before your operation. You've only got six. Is it not better to get the disease out first and then give all of those six? So this is the paper that was published in the New England Journal a couple of years ago. And what it shows was that essentially there is no difference between survival of patients in those two arms, the patients who had primary surgery versus the patients who had neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So for you as an individual, are you better off having an operation? And if you are, should that be now or should it be after chemotherapy? And that's the question that we face as a clinician and as a patient every single day in the consulting room. What we do know is there are lots of things that can influence that. What's the distribution of the tumour? Where is it? Is it in an area we can remove surgically, or is it an area that we really cannot remove surgically? The CA125 level is often thought to be relevant, and it's certainly true that the higher that is, the less likely we are to be successful with our operation. And there's now some really interesting data that shows that the biology of the disease itself matters. We know that patients who have a BRCA gene mutation, for instance, are more likely to have a successful operation than those who don't. And that's a very interesting thing that we need to start teasing out and making more of. And then the last factor there is probably one of the most important, that it depends on your surgeon. And we have to accept and we have to recognise the fact that surgeons are different. And this has been a huge block, really, in our thinking about this. Chemotherapy is chemotherapy is chemotherapy. And to some extent, it doesn't really matter whether you have your chemotherapy at the Christie Hospital in Manchester or the Beatson Institute in Glasgow or in Belfast or in Timbuktu. It really doesn't matter because it's going to be the same chemotherapy. But if you're having an operation, it depends enormously on your surgeon and the surgical facilities that are in that locality and what your surgeon is able to do. And we need to actually start to explore that. But as you can imagine, it's quite a sensitive issue to have to deal with. So in terms of patient factors, are there other illnesses? Does the patient herself actually have other diseases which are going to impact on her ability to undergo surgery? How fit is she? Is she a heavy smoker and so on? Because that can influence recovery times. And of course, some patient wishes. And we have to incorporate what will a patient want in terms of an operation. If it's a decision between having a colostomy, which might equate to a few extra months, or not having a colostomy, how will that influence the decision? And different people are different, and that's how we need to incorporate that into our models. So putting all of that lot together, surgery is an important part of the treatment of ovarian cancer. I hope I've convinced you that it has a role. If you have an operation, it has to be a good operation. And by that, I mean it should be setting out to achieve complete or optimal cytoreduction. If we can't achieve that, maybe we shouldn't be operating. Surgery before or surgery during chemotherapy are both good options. We know that from randomised trials. But the real challenge now is selecting the optimal timing and the need for surgery for an individual patient. And that's now our major priority. Thank you. Thank you.